I am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
So just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week. Up,
and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCEU podcast. This week we are discussing Teen Titans, The Judas Contract.
Probably one of the more famous Teen Titans storylines in comics.
Yep, so the film itself came out in 2017, As the title suggests, it's an adaptation of The Judas Contract by Marv Wolfman and George Perez, which I believe came out in 1984, which would make it older than Frank Miller doing The Dark Knight Returns, which I think means this is one of the oldest adaptions we've actually covered.
Really? I guess, maybe.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the other stuff that we've watched is either original or it's like a lot of
when
stuff...
when was Red Hood? When was Death in the Family?
Death of the Family was, well, that was 80s as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think of them as sort of around the same time. But...
Also, Death in the Family, Death of the Family.
Whatever, it's all the same.
1952, 1988.
Yeah, so this does make it the older one.
Well, when this was...
But it's the same basic time before Alan was conceived.
I regret saying that now. so this was... I actually believe this might have been the story... Look, the original comic book is when Dick Grayson becomes Nightwing.
I really don't know.
Yeah, but well, then that would then explain how Death in the Family then would be a few years later.
Yeah.
Because
this Robin is Tim, right?
Yeah, probably. Well, I'm not quite sure.
I mean, there's Damian Wayne, but...
It's Damian Wayne. That's probably the biggest... The absolute biggest change, because I don't even think... speaking of conception, I don't even think the conception that was then retroactively used to explain Damian Wayne had happened yet.
Yeah, that's confusing. I don't read DC Comics as a matter of course, as, you know... So I didn't read any of these in order. I read Judas Contract purely to read the more recent, the very recent Deathstroke run.
Yeah.
Because they reference back to it, so.
Yeah. So. So the start of this film. Now, this film is part of the DC AMU. So that's the same films as, for instance, Teen Titans versus the Justice League. So it's the same animation style as well. We're using a lot of the same cast, though the opening 5-10 minutes is the previous version of the Teen Titans, which is Robin, Speedy, Kid Flash, Beast Boy, and Bumblebee.
Yeah, people I didn't recognise as well. I mean, I kind of got who they were, but yeah. Like, I don't really know Kid Flash. I know Roy Harper a little bit. But that I don't really know Bumblebee, except for when we saw her in other things.
Yeah. And at first I was going, oh, so this is setting up an arc, or it's going to explain something, or it's going to be relevant. No, it's literally relevant for this is when Starfire turns up.
Yeah, yeah, that's all you're there for, so you at least get a slight introduction to her.
So Starfire is fighting monsters, aliens. It's never really explained what they are, though it is explained that they were sent by Starfire's older sister,
yeah,
who has taken over the planet that Starfire's from.
Yeah.
Starfire then is rescued by the Teen Titans, and she says, oh, well, I can stay for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 years later, she is head of the Teen Titans and is dating Dick Grayson.
Yes, because she has to kiss him to learn English.
That was definitely written by a man.
Yeah, this look, there, this storyline is very clearly written by a man. But then so are like 99% of all comics. So, yeah, you know, hey, and all comic films. So, yeah.
So I hope anyone who's a fan of Bumblebee, Kid Flash, or Speedy enjoyed that, because that's the only time those three characters show up, I think, at all. I don't even think they show up in, like, it's a bit like Jon Stewart showing up. It's like, oh yeah, there are other versions of heroes. Anyway.
It's possibly a bridging to, like, let people see how Dick became Nightwing and as a new Robin. Not that, you know, that he's still around and how teams progress. I guess it's a shortcut to story time. I don't really mind having that in there. Because also, like, the rest of the story is so skeevy and grim.
Yeah, but, oh, like, no, absolutely.
That this is kind of all right. Like, and I mean, I think it's supposed to sort of... I think it's supposed to set up more, like... I don't know. I maybe it would be a better setup, like, when you find out why they don't like... I don't think it works this way in the current. I think there's something a bit different. I think, aren't they responsible for Jericho's death?
I've not read the Judas contract.
Right. So as far as I know, and it's been a long time, the Teen Titans are responsible for Jericho's death.
Right.
Not like purposefully, and that's why Deathstroke's out to get them.
Right.
You know, so I think the rest of the stuff may have been either latched on or is part of that as well. And I haven't remembered that part, but that was the part that was relevant to why I went to read it. So. Mm-hmm.
So, we then cut to the modern, the current Teen Titans fighting the Hive, who have shown up elsewhere. I don't think they've shown up in anything that we've covered, but they're a fairly common villain.
Mm-hmm.
We need a big organization to be doing something evil. Let's use Hive.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's led by the first characters we see are Mullen Mayhem and a nameless genetic scientist who I don't actually think we get his name in the entire film.
Oh, that's funny.
But you can tell he's evil because he has goggles on the whole time.
Very important.
And it is also quite clear that they are being helped by Deathstroke, because if you don't recognise a slightly silhouetted face that's brighter on one side, are you even trying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, are you... I mean, like, look, I just admitted he's someone that I like the comics of until they got a bit mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Even I can recognise Deathstroke.
So... we have, so it's the same Teen Titans that were in the previous film. Robin, Damian Wayne, Raven, Blue Beetle, Beast Boy, Starfire. We have Dick Grayson returning to the team, and we also have a new character who is Terra.
Yeah.
who is voiced by Christina Ricci, and I'm assuming from her name is kind of European, but it's, and certainly from the kind of, well, we've later find out she was hunted as a witch, so.
Yeah. Well, that could be anywhere. I mean, like, you know, Salem witch trials, relatively famous, but yeah.
Also relatively quite a long time ago.
Well, so was any hunting for witches in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, like, to be fair.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, like, it's not a modern thing.
Particularly, you have to wonder, this is a world where superheroes have been a thing for a while, I would have thought.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, I mean, it's par for the course that some of them are sort of hated, and she feels particularly maligned about her lot in life.
Yeah, I think literally the first three or four lines she has is her whinging.
Well, quite a lot of her lines are her whinging.
Also, Nightwing and Starfire are quite cute in this film.
Yeah, they're always cute.
Yeah. So, the Mother Mayhem and the genetic scientist get away. Not before Mother Mayhem. Mother Mayhem just seems to exist to go, someone needs to be shot now. So she's going to shoot them for reasons.
Why not? Yeah, because
she's evil.
She's a hit woman. She's a hit woman in the comics, even, I think. So
also, Beast Boy is flirting rather weirdly with Terra.
I guess they're the right kind of age for each other, and he's a bit of a flirt.
That's one thing I didn't quite get, because Beast Boy's in the Teen Titans from 5 years ago and doesn't appear to have aged at all.
But come on, like, I mean, are you going to tell me any comic thing where they've aged properly?
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, even Nightwing is now fixed at his mid-20s or whatever, and Damian's been fixed. You know, they don't age.
Yeah.
There was a scandal when, like, what's his name? John Kent aged, so.
But, I mean, I'm meaning as in within. This was 5 years ago, and in the interim, Nightwing's turned into a Dorito.
Right. I understand that, but, like, I'm just saying, like, you look at most of these things, and the aging is all over the place. And they'd just say maybe there's something in his DNA that keeps him
ages slowly
young.
Or
he looks young, yeah.
Yeah. But, Nightwing then doesn't get on one knee, but presents Starfire with a box that's a house key.
It's sweet.
Yep. So, he also begins to, he takes a bunch of files from Hive, obviously not able to quite get them transmitted at first. So we got to Titan Tower, we have another awkward Beast Boy trying to flirt, and Terra very obviously not being interested. And instead she goes and talks to Starfire, and then talks about Raven as if she's not there. That said, Raven just seems to kind of exist for a lot of this film.
She doesn't get much to do, which is a shame.
I think it's because she was such a large part of the last one.
Yeah, but they could just not have her there. But, like, just having her there, it's just it's just a bit of, like, why?
Yeah, and then randomly there'll be a scene like, oh yeah, Raven is also here, and she's probably the most powerful person.
Yeah.
And, oh, did we mention her dad's in her forehead?
Yeah, oh, we better tell you her deal. You know, it's important.
And, because I know she, the next time she, because I think this is the last time a lot of the Teen Titans characters show up.
For us, or?
Until Apocalypse War.
Okay.
And even then, I think Apocalypse War, it's Raven and Damian are huge parts of it. And that's really about it. This is the last, like, nothing that's the post-credit scene in this film goes nowhere. It is also actually post-credits as opposed to, we'll do some animated credits and then a little cutscene and then the actual credits. No, this actually had something at the very end of the credits.
Yeah, but actually I didn't know till I saw, somebody told me.
Yeah.
Because why would I know? I don't have time to sit and watch credits for all these cartoons.
Oh no, it is. It's genuinely, I still find it incredible that we have this sort of, how much this has changed since 2008. Because that's when this became a thing.
For Marvel films. I mean, I still don't go into films expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
Even superhero films, I expect someone to tell me if it happened. Because, like, you know, like, even the Marvel ones are becoming less and less kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a nasty way. I mean, like, they're usually all missable now, I think.
It's to go, and this is the... instead of, like,
that's what I mean by
a
missable.
Fun thing, yeah, it's just... Oh, and...
Well, there's usually both. There's usually one little fun thing mid-credits and then, like, a trailer or whatever at the end. Although, I mean, I enjoyed Cap at the end of Spider-Man.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I kind of liked a Mahershala Ali verbal cameo. That I had time for.
Oh, I like that because I like Black Knight. I like any hint of Black Knight. I'm not, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered to me who the voice was, but that was nice, yeah.
I do love how they're going to explain that he looks exactly like a crime boss in Harlem that died 10 years ago.
I don't think they are in the same way as they didn't explain why Rhodey changed how he looked.
Yeah.
And stuff like what. I mean, there's no need.
Absolutely.
It's not like they mixed with any of the same cast.
Yeah. So, anyway. So Terra and Starfire talk about Raven as if she can't hear them. And meanwhile, Jaime, Blue Beetle, has a bit of plot here, and has his own arc, because he. So it's explained that the reason he's with the Teen Titans. Were the Teen Titans always this kind of? It feels a bit X-Men in this one. It's like, they're too dangerous to be kept around their family.
I literally know nothing about the Teen Titans aside from this story and anything we've watched. They are, like, I'm just zero interest in a kind of teeny, and I know people love them, and I'm sorry, but I was never that interested in, even though I like Nightwing of going into it.
But anyway, Jaime, because of the scarab on his back, can't be around his parents, which I take it the idea is that, the scarabs attacked one of them or something like that. It's never quite explained, but it's especially his father's very scared of it or concerned about it. And meanwhile, we meet the actual big bad of this film, who is Brother Blood.
Yep.
Also known as Sebastian Blood. I think this is the first time that we've seen Brother Blood in any sort of major role.
Yep.
It's one of the side effects of the DCAU animation style. He looks exactly like Aquaman in Flashpoint Paradox.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah, it's literally the. There is a few times you go, they are just using the same face. So, Brother Blood, who doesn't age because he bathes in the blood of people that he doesn't get on with, including a reporter who gave an awkward interview with him.
Why not? I mean, you know, it's how you know he's a bad guy.
We then cutting between this, we have a scene where Jaime decides to volunteer at a soup kitchen. He's out with Garth and Tara has a flashback at this point.
Mm-hmm. Important flashback.
Yep. Which kind of go? Basically, we have this one. It's like a lot of films do this. This kind of, it's 1 2-minute flashback, but they drip feed it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that at first you're just like, okay, she's traumatized, and maybe that's why she's so. Well, particularly if you're. I mean, obviously, the second it's called the Judas Contract, you understand, oh, there's probably a traitor, and she's the new character, so it's probably her.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But if you didn't know that, or you couldn't figure that out from the name of the film...
I mean, it has to be... To be fair, it has to explain it for people like me.
Yeah.
Who don't know who the team is normally.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's defensible. I mean, like, I get it, but, like... And they are like some of the most one of the most famous teams. And to be fair, of course, I know who's in it normally. But yeah, I mean, they do have to explain it for like people who don't know anything.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we find so we then have Brawler Blood as he's having his bath, and he then tests a machine that. Drains the life essences from up to 6 people, I think it is.
Crazy, yeah. Yeah, no, it has to be 6 people.
It has to be 6 people,
very
yes.
Very important for
later.
Yeah.
And the side effect of that means that that person is super strong. But apparently not bulletproof, because they shoot him in the head immediately.
Yeah, well, you know. Super strong, not everyone can be bulletproof.
I mean, it's not like they could, I mean, it's not like there's any other use they could possibly have for a really tough guy. I mean, it's not like he could be a henchman or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is actually a named character as
oh,
well.
Oh, is it?
Jericho.
Oh yeah, so Jericho. So let's see the Teen Titans there. So Jericho is Big Deal.
Yeah. Well, normally here he's just a guy who gets shot in the head.
Well,
and then appears
it's
in a post-credit scene.
But he, I mean, he is an important character. So.
Mm-hmm.
You would have seen him in Titans.
Yeah.
As well, if you're watching Titans. And that they play it out. They play out Judas Contract stuff, kind of themes in Titans as well.
Yeah, is it a bit like how if we're going to do something with the Flash, we have to do Flashpoint. If we're doing with Superman, we have to do Doomsday. If we have something with Bane, he tries to break Batman's back because we have to do the big thing that's associated with
yeah,
his character.
Yeah, pretty much. If you're doing Teen Titans or Deathstroke, then you need Jericho.
Yeah.
Because, he's Deathstroke's son.
Okay.
Which is why it was a motivating factor in...
No, that's
in
fair
the,
enough,
the Judas Contract thing. So, like, yeah.
In this, it's...
Not so much, yeah.
In this, it's not so much. It's more... Originally, it's just a sort of... Well, I don't like the Teen Titans and I'm getting paid a lot of money. And, oh, if I get an excuse to kill Damien, brilliant.
Yeah. yeah.
So, meanwhile, Tara is having an extension of her flashback and causing an earthquake. And Raven tries to calm her down because Raven is also here.
Yeah, and she's good, even though people keep not giving her anything to do.
Yep. And Robin notices that Raven appears to be concerned afterwards, and Raven basically goes, Damien, you're not in charge, shut up.
I mean, Damien, if Damien exists, he will always believe he's in charge.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is one of the reasons we love him.
And we then find out that Brawler Blood has hired Deathstroke specifically to capture the Titans.
Yeah.
And We then cut to... We have a training montage, which is done not in like a safe room or anything like that, but just randomly on some grass.
You know, that's all you need, a bit of grass.
Yep. And, yeah, we're just... What we're going to do is we're going to have you fight each other, because when you have Blue Beetle, who is a guy who's not 100% in control of his powers,
yeah,
and also a member of your team who isn't getting on well with another member of this team and is saying that she's creeping him out and he won't leave her alone, the best thing to do is to get them to fight each other.
Always. Always the best thing to do.
But maybe it was just Nightwing and Starfire looking for an excuse to have a fight with each other.
Maybe, yeah, who knows.
So Nightwing fights Starfire, Starfire wins. Blue Always. Beetle and inevitably. Blue Beetle and Raven fight. Blue Beetle does slightly overhit Raven, but it means we get a joke about Trigon being unhappy. And then Beast Boy and Terra are fighting, and to his credit, Beast Boy actually initially wins.
Yeah.
And then he makes a mistake of calling Terra a witch.
Yeah, that's not so great.
And then Terra tries to kill him. And then... it's not quite... It's kind of implied that she sort of... disappeared into her own head for a moment.
Yeah.
And she's not sure what she did. And when she comes to, she's like... Stop being nice to me!
Yeah. She's obviously not used to having people being nice to her.
Yep. And she then sneaks out late at night.
Yeah.
Damien, being Damien, gets suspicious and decides to tail her.
Of course.
Somehow being able to talk to Nightwing about it and catch up with her, even though she has powers.
Yeah.
He truly is his father's son.
He's great. He can do everything.
I do like, as well, the fact that Nightwing and Damien have obviously taken very different traits from their father figure.
Well, Dick was properly raised by him, but before that had his nice, nurturing family.
Yeah.
But Damien had Ra's al Ghul and Talia. So, I mean, like, it's not just what they take from Batman, although that is a really interesting thing, but it's also, you know, that it's not just Bruce that they've had, access to.
Absolutely. So... Terra then confronts Damien, and Deathstroke then attacks. Robin and Deathstroke are obviously resuming their conflict that's gone on for a while, when Terra turns out, da-da-da, she's in on it and she's working with Deathstroke.
Yeah. It gets worse from there, don't worry.
Yeah. We're about to get to that. So before that, Damien gets buried and then...
Yeah, but it's almost like encased buried. It's pretty grim.
Oh, very grim. And that's very dangerous. He suffers no ill effects from it, obviously.
It's Damien.
It's Damien. Also, someone on his phone, probably Deathstroke, sends a message along the lines of going solo, and you're like, no, they could believe that that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I do find it hard to believe that there's no way Damien doesn't have a tracker on him.
I don't know. I don't really think about things like that. It's quite unusual, but
yeah.
I could imagine him having one and him also removing it.
Yeah.
So
Meanwhile, Jaime's Scarab does not understand the difference between stress and fear and sexual attraction. Which it's kind of a plot that exists. It doesn't. It just like, oh, and this person, it's the first female character that's not a hero to meet Jaime. He's attracted to. We don't actually do anything with this plot line, but it just exists so that we can have a funny thing where the blue beetle wants to attack randomly.
Yeah, I guess it's also to set them as teens. There's a lot of, like, high romance drama.
Yeah. And then we get to the scene that... The second this happened, I was like, oh, no. Oh, please don't be going the direction I think we're going.
I mean, I actually knew, because obviously I have read it. So I knew we were going there.
Right. I didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm guessing that now.
So, Deathstroke is interrogating Robin or whatever, and Terra arrives and she's wearing a teddy and she's got makeup on and she's really, really quite
disgusting. It's literally disgusting.
Into Deathstroke. And Deathstroke, look, see the second you hear him talk, like, oh, he's playing you so well.
Well, I would say grooming her.
Oh, God, we have absolutely.
I mean, like, it's not just playing her, because that would be, if nothing, but no, it's worse. He's grooming her. They have a relationship.
Yeah, it's the one thing I was kind of going is, I was like, the only reason I didn't go to grooming is he's not actually going to. The second,
well,
no, he would. Come on, surely.
I think in the comics it's a lot. I don't know. I think, yeah. I don't know if he isn't. I didn't take that from it. I thought he absolutely would.
Right. Okay. I don't. That might just be because Well, I suppose we're both. You know, you've read. You mentioned you read Deathstroke comic books as well. It is a character that I kind of. It felt unnecessary. I know.
Well, it is unnecessary.
It feels completely unnecessary. It does. It just kind
of
go.
I mean, like, to the point where one of the more recent Deathstroke comics, like, literally calls him a paedophile for it.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, that's...
No, so I mean, it's like, I think it's more than just implied. So, I mean, it's just implied in the film, because, hey, it's a film. By the way, Terra, even in the comics, is only 15.
Okay, because I was like, oh, she's like 18, 19, which is still skeevy. I didn't realize she was on her. She was actually 50. This gets worse. I mean, it was worse anyway, because you're going, I mean, he's raised her since she was a child.
I mean,
even
if it's not a sexual relationship, it's a romantic relationship, right? We can agree on that. So
absolutely.
It's pretty nasty.
As I said, I do get the impression if it actually meant anything to him, because it's the fact that later on, it's not even a thought process of, oh!
It's definitely as a way of manipulating her.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But like, he does, like, the comics have kind of dealt with it recently.
Yeah.
Recently, in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
By someone calling him a paedophile. So, you know.
Meanwhile, we get a scene with Starfire and Dick moving into their new apartment. Starfire has a lot of weapons, and she's feeling a bit strange because Dick Grayson kind of instantly jumped into the leadership role.
Well, as he should. But
yeah,
no,
she should.
I mean, she's a decent, she's a good leader.
Yeah. I think it's more, it's like the new manager when the legendary football, it's like any Manchester United manager who then, if Sir Alex comes and visits.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but like, but she does, you know, like she is a leader of her people and stuff like that. So it's just that, yeah, I mean, Dick does kind of assume it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, sexist, but what we expect of
him. Yeah. So Tara is then asked to join a team meeting, which she's already jumpy because she's up, they know. That's her first. And also, I have to question who thought it was a good idea. Let's do a surprise party for the person that we already know can bring a building down when she's frightened. But no, it's a surprise party because it's been a year since Tara joined and she actually seems properly affected by it.
Yeah, she does. I mean, she wavers.
Uh-huh. And yeah, it's... I do like the fact that it's quite obvious from this point onwards there is a bit of I'm not sure. This is actually quite...
Yeah, it's nice having friends and, you know,
and
of her own age.
Absolutely. We then also find out, so we get another scene with Robin and Deathstroke, and at first this seems like a nothing scene, and then I was like, no, it actually does make Deathstroke look smarter.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that his response is not to do that thing of, no, I'm absolutely great!
Yeah.
Because that would actually set people up. Okay, he's been captured. Okay, fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
But so I did like the fact that it kind of explains, no, Deathstroke is smart enough to figure out now Robin would be... that Damien would be more of a Richard.
Yeah.
We then also get... So the files have been fixed, so we now know who the... That's the scientist has been located and that they want to capture him.
Yeah, yeah.
When the Teen Titans attack, the self-destruction is set off in the building. Not that it has any consequences for anything.
It has, like, literally none.
They also remember that Raven's there, so she actually captures the...
Yeah, when they need Raven, suddenly...
We need someone to be super mega powerful. Oh yeah, that's right. We have Raven there, so yeah. She's going to catch them.
Pretty much.
And just before they're able to interrogate the scientist, he gets shot by Deathstroke through a machine.
Yeah.
It then turns out that some of the information that this scientist had was in-depth dossiers on all of the Titans, including pictures of them from the last film.
Yeah, yeah, that's weird. But cool, I mean, like, you know, he's done his research.
Yep. So, we then have a scene where we're told, right, okay, they're definitely scouting us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to do anything. We're not going to pair up.
Yeah.
We're not going to put trackers on. We're not going to give you an emergency alarm or anything. We're just going to mention the fact that, yeah, they're definitely watching us.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Teen Titans work for the current government? I don't know. At the moment in this country, COVID cases are surging. Who could possibly have guessed that was going to happen? So We also have mentioned here that Beast Boy has been invited onto Kevin Smith's podcast.
Yeah, which has just made me groan a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's... So Kevin Smith does cameo in this film.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so... Meanwhile, we get a scene between Terra and Beast Boy. Beast Boy actually starts acting like a human being and not just a joke about a childish person.
Mm-hmm.
And Terra is actually reciprocates and they end up kissing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do love that Deathstroke's immediate response is, "Well done, even I was fooled."
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I do like the fact that it is quite clear that Terra is starting to get very doubtful and is questioning. We then get a scene where... So Jaime is volunteering and is on his own. Starfire is on her own. Dick Grayson is on his own.
Yeah, there's not a lot of working together.
Yeah. Beast Boy goes into a dark room with a button that says do not press.
So what do you think it's going to do?
And then Dick Grayson goes round, checks on... I think he checks on Jaime first. Jaime's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
He then tries to contact Beast Boy. Finds out that Beast Boy pressed the button.
Of course he did. I mean, like, seriously.
And then Starfire has also been knocked out off screen in a way that's not been explained.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like she's incredibly powerful and we don't... We're just going to...
We're just gonna... Yeah, armor. We're just gonna not deal with that and just say she got knocked out.
Speaking of dropping the plot armor... Terra has somehow knocked out Raven.
Mm-hmm.
There's no explanation for how she knocked out Raven.
Because there is no explanation for how she knocked out Raven.
Because Raven is, as will later be shown in this film, the most powerful person here.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, she's been knocked out, and she'll be unconscious until suddenly she's not later in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And suffer no ill consequences.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she has any dialogue in the last half of the film.
Very little. If it is, it's literally the odd word.
Yeah. So, this all happens. Then, when Dick Grayson gets home, he gets attacked by Deathstroke.
Mm-hmm.
And he dislocates his arm.
Yeah, that's painful.
And he gets shot and falls into the water. But Deathstroke makes no effort to retrieve the body.
No.
Because Deathstroke is not genre savvy. So Nightwing then manages to get back out and relocates his shoulder with no consequences.
Yeah.
And yeah, he prepares to go on the assault. Meanwhile, Robin is able to figure out Deathstroke's game plan because it's the same game plan that his grandfather would use.
Yeah, and you know, oh, that's why he's annoyed at Damien in this, isn't he? That Damien got trained instead of him. Yeah.
Damien, basically, Deathstroke was going to be Deathstroke was going to become the head of the League of Assassins. Then Damien was born and Deathstroke was knocked down the list.
Yeah, so that's what it's from, not killing his son.
Yep, because Brother Blood killed his son, but not really. He's just a random person. Yeah. So Deathstroke actually stops. Also, Dick Grayson realizes very quickly that it was Terra that betrayed them.
Yeah, because he's no fool.
Yep. And it turns out that the plan is Brawler Blood is going to use that machine to steal the Teen Titans' powers,
mm-hmm.
which will make him a god. Because the combined powers of the Teen Titans would be enough to beat Superman in a fight. Or Wonder Woman, or...
I mean, with all their powers combined, and including Raven...
You know. Oh, including Raven, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Also, if you killed Raven, wouldn't that let Trigon... I mean, I don't know, but...
I don't know. I mean, presumably he's done his due diligence.
Yeah. So... Dick Grayson is able to sneak into the base. Meanwhile, Brawler Blood points out that Dick Grayson isn't there, and he'd even taken the body, because even when you're dead, you have an essence of life, which is apparently how they explain Jericho getting up in the post-credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, well, it doesn't work because there's a slot not full.
Yeah.
So, she's a Teen Titan. And this is what makes me think Deathstroke was going to betray her anyway.
I mean, they've possibly done that in the film. I don't think it was quite as, But Deathstroke's the kind of double-crosser who would double-cross anyone.
Yeah. But it is the second he's like, no, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Take Terra away. So... The draining process begins. Deathstroke tries to leave because he's like, no, I've done my job. Pay mm-hmm. me. Bye. And then he gets forced to stay, which I was going to go, oh, are they going to have Deathstroke join forces with the Teen Titans now?
That would have been pretty good, but like, no.
No. So Nightwing is able to destroy the machine before Brawler Blood takes all the powers and kills them, but he has got enough that we then get... So Terra's knocked out. Nightwing and Robin are fighting Deathstroke, and Beast Boy and Blue Beetle and Raven are fighting Brawler Blood, who is now super bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Starfire, and despite the fact that we've established early on that these guys are a team and they work together and they're a team, mm-hmm. this whole fight, it just consists of them each going one at a time to try and fight Brawler Blood on their own.
Yeah. But you know, it's more cinematic.
Yeah. So... This continues for about 5 minutes until Terra wakes up, and she didn't take Deathstroke betraying her well.
No, because she's young, hormonal, and in love.
Yep. And at first I thought, oh no, they're not going to do the we're going to kill Deathstroke off-screen thing, are we? Because at first it's like she sends a huge wall hurtling towards him. He goes, oh. And then we cut to dust collapsing in the air.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Raven remembers that she's the most powerful person in this film, and she uses some of Trigon's power to easily defeat Blood.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't have done that for the whole 5-10 minutes before this point.
Again, cinematic. Like, yeah. You know.
And then Mother Mayhem sees a chance to shoot someone, so she kills Brawler Blood so he can't be imprisoned. And then we cut back to Deathstroke and Terra fighting again.
Yeah.
And Deathstroke gets buried. And I don't know if this is the last time he shows up in the DCAMU.
Well, that I absolutely don't know.
I think so. I'm not quite sure. Uh, No, this is the last time. The only other time he appears is in a flashback to back when he was part of the League of Assassins. So this is, in theory, it is possible that this is the canon death of Deathstroke in this universe. So Deathstroke gets buried alive, and Terra decides to bring the building down on top of herself.
Why not?
Because reasons. It's not even like a...
Well, she's pretty... Like, she's gone through a very stressful period just now. I mean, like, she's... You know, she's literally had her heart broken and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, no, it's... I absolutely... I can understand it, but it is just a bit of kind of... And then she commits suicide because she does.
Yeah, another cheerful moment in this cheerful film.
Yeah, because this is the... This is the Teen Titans. This is the young bubbly team. Let's finish the film with our character committing suicide. Yeah.
To be fair, it's almost less depressing than grooming, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, she commits suicide because it turns out the person that was grooming her was grooming her.
Yeah.
So the rest of the Teen Titans escape. And we then cut to Beast Boy being interviewed by Kevin Smith.
Yeah, which is awful, but hey.
And he does the voiceover as Jaime finally sees his family. There's no reason why suddenly the Scarab's okay with meeting the family, but he meets his family because we have to conclude the arc. Raven is also there, and she got a puppy.
Which will help with everything.
Which doesn't tie into anything in this story, but...
It's a puppy.
It's a puppy, and it's the first time that we see Damien unmasked in the entire film.
Yeah.
There's a new member of the Teen Titans, who is Wonder Girl, who I've never heard of.
She has the boob window, right? Famously in the comics, she has a boob.
Isn't that Power Girl?
Oh, is it? I don't know. Oh, yeah, maybe it is. I guess Wonder Girl must be a Wonder Woman character?
I don't know, but she turns up in Titans.
Okay.
And also, she does show up in...
Oh, Justice is it League. Donna Troy?
Donna Troy, yes.
Yeah, so she's... she's a Wonder Woman character. Right. I don't know if she's her cousin or whatever, but... That's all I know. I liked her in Titans. Barely noticed her in this, to be honest.
Well, to be fair, she gets a whole zero syllables of dialogue in both her appearances in the DCAMU. Because she shows up in Blink As You Miss It cameo in Apocalypse War as well.
Okay, cool.
Not that it ties into anything. And then finally... Beast, we get to see the lovely image of Terra dying in Beast Boy's arms.
Aww. See what you could have had, Terra, if you weren't after cringy old dude.
Yeah. So, I remember, see, at the time I first watched it, I quite liked this film. And the more I think about it, the more I go...
I didn't like
the stuff with Deathstroke, but... See, they're actually talking about it, go, oh god, this is horrifying.
Yeah, but I think the problem is the story. It's not the film. Like, the voices are great, the animation I thought was good. Yeah. You know, it's told all right. It's just, the story is inherently skeevy.
Problematic, yeah.
Skeevy and problematic. And it's really hard to watch it and not go... I mean, even if you thought Terra was older... But I think she's drawn looking pretty young.
Yeah.
It, like, if you compare like how Dick and Corey are drawn compared to the current team of Titans, all of them look like they're in their early to mid-teens, if that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Raven looks young, Beast Boy looks young, Jaime looks young. So it's just it's a story that is a good story, but and probably would have worked without the skeeviness, but unfortunately has the skeeviness because who knows why. You can't assign a reason without being offensive to someone. Like, I have no idea. It's just, it's one of those things. And there's always a lot of problematic things in comics. But this one just hits quite hard for a few reasons, you know? Yeah. Not, I mean, like, because you have the suicide as well.
Yeah. So this is also, so actually, I was reading about this. So the actor who actually played Deathstroke in this film, it's a different, it's actually a difference.
It's my dude, Miguel.
Yes.
I love him.
So.
It's Albert from Twin Peaks.
That's the third, he's the third person to voice, Deathstroke in this series of films, because it was Thomas Gibson for Son of Batman, and it was Ron Perlman for Flashpoint Paradox. Mm-hmm. And Ron Perlman's who I associate, is who I associate with the voicing the character normally.
Right, right.
Either that or Manu Bennett, who played him in Arrow. Mm-hmm. Those are the two people I always think of.
I mean, that's probably who I associate with him. But I just don't, I, you know, I don't really, you know me, I don't really pay attention to the names as much.
I also think this might have been released post Humusly.
Oh, really?
I think he died in he died in January 2017, and this came out in March 2017. So
at least he didn't have to go on a press tour being asked about the skeeviness of the show.
Yeah. He also, he played, he was the person that voiced Martian Manhunter in the New Frontier film.
He's very good. I love him a lot. Yeah. Like, honestly, I love everything he's in. Every time he shows up, I go, yay!
So, yeah, that was Teen Titans The Jews Contract, which is the last time we see this version of the Teen Titans. We do have both Teen Titans Go and the Teen Titans that we did an episode on already, they show up as well.
Right.
So there are all the Teen Titans movies.
But this one.
But not this one, exactly. So after, so the next one we've got coming up is our first adventure into the Arrowverse.
Oh, interesting.
Which is Vixen the Movie, which is also the first time in a while that we have had a film that's actually a bunch of shorts stuck together.
I mean, we've had a bunch of video game cutscenes stuck together.
Yes, but that was me taking the rip.
But wasn't the anime one was, I mean, it's not quite the same, but it was like more of an anthology of various different sort of anime things stuck together.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It's the first one we've had in a while.
Right, okay.
Is what I said, yeah. So, but yeah, this is, so I think this is the first two seasons as one continuous film, which means there will be a year's jump randomly in about halfway through the film.
Amazing.
As I said, this is set in the Arrowverse, so I've only watched the first season of it.
I've only watched the first couple of episodes of it.
Yeah.
But then I got bored of trying to find it.
So, after that, we'll be doing, I think this is the last time we do this particular universe. No, it's not. No, it is. Sorry, I'm being thick. Then after that, it's DC Superhero Girls with a film called Intergalactic Games. Know nothing about that at all. And after that, we're doing Batman and Harley Quinn, which, yeah, I've said enough about already. Lego DC Super. Oh, no. The next one we're doing after that is Lego DC Superhero Girls. So I'm not sure which continuity that follows.
Interesting.
And then the final one, when we're speaking about post-release releases, is Batman versus Two-Face, which is the last time Adam West performs as Batman.
Okay, cool.
Oh, and I've just spoiled the the next one is Scooby-Doo and Batman.
Oh no.
But that's what's all coming up in the next few episodes. So this podcast will be coming out in 3 weeks' time from when we record. It'll be the first week in May. So I'm imagining by then you will not be releasing new episodes discussing a certain Disney Plus show that's coming out at the moment.
The final Moon Knight episode is the 4th of May.
Right, so it'll be this week then that you'll be discussing
it. Yeah, so let us come to Into the Night, Moon Knight podcast, listen to us talk about the finale. So that'll be also on Star Wars Day, so May 4th. And then the following day is Doctor Strange coming out in the UK. So it's big
wow.
Marvel week, yeah.
Big Marvel week.
But make time to listen to Skeevy Teen Titans. They're not the skeevy ones, it's Deathstroke.
Yeah. Yeah. So, also, a few weeks after this comes out, you'll be appearing on another podcast. A podcast that I present, which is called Rise of the Robots. Mm-hmm. So, when this comes out, we will still be covering Robot Wars Extreme, because that series was 17 episodes!
Wow, is that long or is that short? I don't know.
That's not even the longest season. There are seasons of television we do that are 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, 17 is not bad.
So, yeah, so... And we will have some guests in future episodes, including one charming woman by the name of Rebecca, who you might recognise.
I'm going to come and talk about robots with pointy things again. And be very insightful.
But that's what's coming up in the near future. Have you appeared on Immortal Iron Fist recently, or?
Probably by the time this comes out, I will have appeared on an Immortal Iron Fist. I am taking a break for the next recording.
Okay.
Because of all the podcasts, so.
It's almost like one particular podcast is very busy at the moment.
I don't know whether it is, but yeah, I'm doing like two Moon Knight ones per week at the moment, pretty much. Jeez. And the problem is it has to fit in with work, so I'm doing it in the middle of the day when I have work. So.
Plus, you're also recording with Australians.
Well, that's why.
So, New Zealanders.
No, it's Australians. Australians. But that's why, yeah, so, like, Ray has to do it after he's put his kid to bed, so that makes it, like, midday for me, which is, you know, in the middle of my work day.
Yep. All right, well, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for listening to the DCAU podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with Vixen.
Can't wait.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 international license. Thank you for listening.